Welcome to Stay on Course with me, Julie Riga. My life has been a roller coaster of highs and lows, but what I know to be true is that when we are grounded in our purpose and savor the sweet moments of life, we are truly a success. Today, you are going to get the ingredients for success because life is salty and life is sweet. Together, let's explore the possibilities of our own lives and learn from thought leaders around the globe. Ready, guys? Let's cook it. Welcome, welcome, everybody, to the Stay on Course podcast. Today, I have Gustavo Rossetti, one of the world's leading workplace culture thinkers. Gustavo's forward-thinking ideas, tools, and books are helping leaders and teams do the best work of their lives. His purpose is to help people and organizations overcome limitations and become the best versions of themselves. He's also the author of Remote, Not Distance, and this book will be sure to help you stay ahead of the curve in this remote revolution. Welcome, Gustavo, to the Stay on Course podcast.
Hey, Julie, how are you? Great to be here. Very excited about our conversation.
Awesome. Thank you so much. So before we get started, I'd love to know, what is your favorite food?
Well, that's a hard one because I like cooking, but I'm going to go with one. I like a duck à l'orange. So duck with orange sauce, the typical French dish, the traditional one. That's one of my favorites. I like to cook that as well.
Oh, that is awesome. I love duck. My father, I always go back to my father when I have this conversation. I have to, because my father was a chef and he used to cook that every year when the accountant came over. Duck à l'orange. I can't even say it. À l'orange. It's awesome. Okay. So I came across your work, Gustavo, because I needed to do some research for a very important talk that I had, and I found amazing nuggets of gold in your book. And today we're going to talk about ingredients for success in a hybrid workplace. And so let's get right to it. And here's some of your ingredients for success in leading in a hybrid work environment.
Absolutely. Let's go one by one. I mean, there are many. And one thing that I always tell, and I say that in the book, the hybrid workplace is really complex. So it's not like a one sentence solution. I say, well, I get it. I'm going to fix what's going to happen next. But the most important ingredient, and without it, you cannot cook the hybrid workplace, is trust. We know, and unfortunately, this is something that people don't want to discuss, that most leaders don't trust their employees. We knew that before the pandemic, it became even worse during the pandemic, and now it's coming to fruition that one of the reasons that many leaders want people back into the office full time is because they think that if they are not there, if their people are not visible, if they cannot control and observe what people are doing, people are not going to do their work. And that's one critical aspect. Without trust in any context, people cannot work. And in a hybrid work, which basically is about giving people options, without trust, it's going to go sideways. It's not going to work by any means.
Yeah. And trust is so important, especially when you're building a team. So I'm just wondering what that translates to now that we're working on teams. And in a lot of these cases, people have never met in person.
Indeed. I think there are two elements when it comes to trust. One, trust usually is between two people, but then it's a collective trust, or what many people call psychological safety, which is the trust level that the team provides to each of their team members. So at a personal level, the point is some people think that trust needs to be earned. There are some other people that start with a very positive kind of a attitude towards trust, but quickly, because of one mistake or something that goes wrong, they lose trust. So either approach is not good. I think the important part is to understand that leaders need to take the first step, because trust is a two-way street. And someone needs to model the right behavior. Someone needs to show that, hey, we hire you because we did a background check. We know that you have the right skills, that you've done a great job in the past. So when you join our company, even if we haven't met you in person, We need to trust you. There's an example I'd like to share, which is Atlassian, which is a huge software company originally from Australia, a huge billion-dollar business, that they offer new employees a voucher for them to take a vacation even before they get started. In most companies, even in the US, especially in the US, you know, you need to show that you are good, and then you start accruing benefits, even in some cases, health benefits. In this case, the company trusts employees even before they start working. Oh. And I think that's a great example, because if you join that company from day one, you're going to say, wow, these people trust me. I'm going to give my best.
Yeah. Wow. Trust is a big topic, and we don't have a lot of time to dig really into here. But I think that first one, trust, is the foundation of everything. So what's your next ingredient?
I'm going to tackle ingredient two and three all together, because they are two sides of the same coin. So the second ingredient is flexibility or freedom. Basically, it's giving people the choice to choose not only where they want to work from, the place, so if they want to work from the office, their house, Starbucks, from a co-working space, but most importantly, when and how. When I say when, it's giving people the flexibility to choose their own schedules. So there are some people, not me, even though I have to adapt to my clients, that like to work really, really early. I'm more like a night owl, and also I write a lot. So for me, working late at night, midnight, it's my perfect time. So this freedom, this flexibility allows people to work when it's best for them. And also, not only this affects their productivity, but actually they can design their work day around their personal life. So with that comes the third ingredient, which is discipline. Many people confuse that flexibility and freedom means chaos, that people are going to do whatever they want. When you have freedom, but on the other hand, you have discipline, you get the best of both worlds. Basically, I'm going to give my team members the space to choose, hey, do you want to work more in the morning? Do you want to take a break for your family? Do you want to continue working late at night? That's perfect. However, in order to function as a team, in order to collaborate, we need to find some common ground. So for example, from 1 to 3 or from 10 to 11, that's what's called collaboration time. So we're all going to make ourselves available for possible calls, maybe meetings, or whatever needs to happen. Everyone's going to be available for the team members to reach and collaborate.
Oh, I think that's great. And how many hours a day do you suggest for people to have that collaboration time set?
That depends on the nature of the business and the nature of the work that each team does. You know, so if you're in customer service or taking care of things that are really urgent, probably you need more time. If you're working on projects that are not really urgent, I'm saying they're not really urgent. No? Not that the boss or the manager feels that urgent, because we live in a world that people feel that everything's an emergency. That's why we're reaching out to our colleagues all the time. So having 2 or 3 hours, that's kind of the usual norm for most teams. Even in some cases, 1 hour could do great. Flexibility is about understanding that not only people have different needs, but also as a team, probably this week, we want to get together in the office or in any place to tackle that huge challenge, because we need to have tough conversations. It's good to be in person. But probably next week or the following, we don't need to see each other face to face. So rather than dictating, a group of managers and HR folks got together and say, hey, this is our new model, you need to let teams dictate their model based on what work and what needs and what challenges they're facing.
You know, this is amazing, because I feel like we're flipping the entire paradigm here. We're saying, okay, you can work from home. You can work whenever you want to work, as long as you get the work done. And so I could imagine that there's a lot of people that are very uncomfortable with this new way that we're working.
Absolutely. And I think that because we tend to adapt too fast and we forget. No? So I always said that the weekend, as we know it, is close to 100 years old. So people in a couple of centuries ago, they didn't have a weekend. It has become the normal. So now we are redefining a new normal. So it's natural that people fight back and get lost, but in the end, they're going to lose that battle because change is already here. People are looking for flexibility. People are looking for a different way. And to your point, the power balance is flipping. So today, I'm helping lots of leaders redefine what's their role within their organization because they're no longer the one who dictate the rules. They're not the ones who say how we're going to work. They're the ones who need to create the right context. And that takes me to another ingredient, but I want to hear your thoughts first.
Well, I just can imagine like what some of the people are thinking, because I know that as we move into the future of work, and the future of work is here, like that is clear. We know that COVID has pushed us into the future of work. We were getting there, but COVID started to make us get there faster. And I just don't think that some people are ready for it, but I think that there's a lot of people that are waiting for it. And you can see the results too by all the people that are quitting their jobs and the great resignation.
Absolutely. First of all, I want to basically congratulate you for being a pioneer in the hybrid space based on your story. That's fantastic. And also a good proof that this was something that has been in the making for many years. So this is not new. People resisted remote work because they think, people that work remotely, they're not being productive. Well, every research that we've seen, every study shows exactly the opposite. People are more productive when they work at least 2 or 3 days from home because they are not interrupted. They can design their own work schedule. So you mentioned the resistance. I think more than old school is about leaders are lost. And I mentioned that they need to rethink their role. But most importantly, they need to embrace experimentation, which is the fourth ingredient. What do I mean by experimentation? There's no one size fits all solution. So each company has to design its own approach to hybrid. Not only that, every team within the company should experiment differently and see what happens. And this is going to take months, probably years, for each company to figure it out. And that's the challenge. It's easy to go back to what normal used to be because people were raised in that context, they know how it operates. But now they need to make decisions, they need to take risks. They need to make mistakes. They need to go back. They need to get back with their teams and say, hey, guys, what is working? What's not working? And we basically adjust the course. So that's the challenge.
It is a challenge, and there is no right answer, and there is no right model at this point. It's really what's going to work best for your team, and try and experiment with it. And one of the things that I'm thinking about is trust. I'm going back to trust again, because a lot of the individuals that have come together in the last 2 years have maybe never met in person. They haven't had a chance to share a meal together, to be in the same place. And in some instances, it's not going to be possible. They may never meet in person, but in some instances, it is possible. And it is maybe a place of the reset. Because I know in your book, you talk a lot about resetting the culture. And so the reset, and what I've noticed and what I've worked on over the past few months here, is helping leaders and their executive teams do a reset so that they come together, they're meeting together for the first time, sharing meals together, doing team activities, bringing in some of these Myers-Briggs activities again, and really building the trust between the people that are sitting on the leadership team, but then more so even with the people that are within the company to build that trust. And you don't need to do it. Maybe you do it once a year. Maybe once a year the teams get together and do a little bit of that team building. So I just wanted to know your thoughts on resetting the culture, building that trust in person, and then having it last throughout the year and have some of these different trust programs in place.
Absolutely. I think that you nailed it. First of all, when it comes to reset, people need to understand that the culture that brought the company here is not going to get them there. No? So you talk about the future that's already here, it requires a different culture. I think that all the ingredients, I mean, like in every recipe, they are connected. We can isolate them, but in the end, when you get the final dish, you shouldn't be able to distinguish one from another if the recipe is good. So I think that trust and film, to your point, I mean, being in the same room. So the myth that because people go to the same office, they sit next to each other, that doesn't necessarily build trust. Because actually, when people were fully working in the office, there were still a lot of people that didn't trust their colleagues. So that's a point that we always want to emphasize. And when it comes to freedom and flexibility, it's even worse because if you're going to give people the choice to define how they want to work, when they want to work, you need to trust them to the extreme, to a level that's uncomfortable. So in the end, the point is people show companies that they were trustworthy because they kept businesses running from their own homes. Many of them, without the proper technology, without having a home office, some people working from a closet in their houses. So if they were able to, I think that people already show that they deserve the trust. So now it's for companies to say, you know what, look, let's acknowledge that people really play their part. We need to continue building on that. And I think that brave leaders realize that and they involve people in the process to define what's next.
Yes. So the trust and the freedom come together. You need to trust your people. You need to give them the freedom to work where and when they want. And then the next piece is the discipline, is that, you know, schedule time for people to be meeting together. We went on meeting overdrive when this pandemic hit us. People have Zoom fatigue because people are just, you know, tired of going to meetings. And I feel like the meeting thing was pushed because of a lack of trust.
Absolutely. So basically meetings were for managers to see, hey, my team is working. So if I see them, I can control. So we moved from presentism in the office to virtual presentism. They didn't shift the mindset.
Yeah.
The people that tend to focus on remote work, when they meet, most of the time it's not about work. They usually don't meet to talk about work. They meet to build, to your point, that glue that brings the team together, the personal relationships.
Yeah. Yeah. And the talk that I just did, we were talking about being intentional about when you actually go to the office, that you're not just doing heads down work, that you're going there to meet people, and that you're scheduling your day around meetings and spending time with people, because there might be a time that you're not going to be meeting with people for the next 2 weeks. It could be 2 months that you don't see those people. So make sure that the time in the office is well spent.
Absolutely. That's a great point. There are many people complaining that people don't want to go back to the office. And the point is, they don't want to go back to the office to do what they can accomplish from their home. If they go to the office, design a new experience. Be, to your point, intentional. Why are we meeting? With what purpose? And let's do something that we can only do when we get together.
Yes. And I think that's part of the experimentation as we finalize the last ingredient here. It's about experimenting. It's about seeing what's going to work for you now in the new environment. It's about understanding your preference. Are you an extrovert? Are you an introvert? What do you need in the moment? And really think about how you want to be spending your days.
Absolutely. And I think it's a great opportunity. Not only introverts, minority women, they feel safer now. They think that many companies have been able to be more inclusive. They feel less attacked, so to speak, because there is fewer microaggressions when you're working from home than when you're spent all the time in the office. So I think there's a great opportunity to rethink how we want to work, why we want to work, but make sure that we can also build great relationships with our coworkers, even if we haven't met them in person. No? So whenever we have the chance to meet with them, let's do it and let's have fun, to your point. And let's
That's
have
awesome.
Food, for sure.
So. Food and fun is definitely going to be there when I'm in the office. Well, Gustavo, thank you so much. I think your four ingredients are great. Trust, freedom, discipline, experimentation in the hybrid work environment. All of those ingredients are needed, and all of those ingredients cannot be separated. They need to sort of be in the same dish is what we talked about. And so I really want to thank you for your time. And I want to ask you, where our audience can find more information about what you're working on or buy your book as well.
Absolutely. They can go to my corporate website, which is fearlessculture.design. And if not, they can look my profile on LinkedIn. Luckily, there are no other Gustavo Razzetti, so it's going to be easy for you to track me. And you can find everything about my work and my book there on LinkedIn as well.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you for hosting me. It was an honor. And I like that we talk about ingredients because it helped me connect my work with food, which are my two passions.
That's awesome. My dad, Ennio Riga, was not just a chef. He was my hero. From the hardships of World War II to the heights of culinary excellence, his story is nothing short of remarkable. Now, this story lives on in Stay on Course, a book that is very close to my heart. It's filled with his own words, his recipes, and the wisdom he imparted to me. Just imagine, 4 months before he passed, he handed me his life story, urging me to finish it. In these pages, you'll discover the secrets behind mouthwatering dishes and the lessons he taught me about leadership and perseverance. And trust me, there are some incredible tales in here, like the time he pulled off a birthday bash for Frank Sinatra with just 48 hours notice. So, if you're hungry for inspiration and craving a taste of Ennio's legacy, head over to stayoncoursebook.com. That's stayoncoursebook.com. Grab your copy and let his story ignite your passion.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Stay on Course. Please don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast so Julie can continue serving up delectable experts and appetizing content directly to your earbuds. And remember, right now, you have the ingredients to be living the life you are meant to live. This has been a production of The Media Casters.